Krishna. So before I begin, I'd like to take blessings from all of you and all my wonderful worshipable God brothers and seniors sitting here. It's a very wonderful opportunity. I remember when I had not started Krishna conscious activities, then Sunday was always a good time to take rest, especially Sunday afternoon. I'm sure any of your friends or bosses or colleagues, you give them a phone call right now and see what is their reaction. Yeah, they will be obviously furious with you that you found this time to call me. Right, so I feel it's an immense act of sacrifice to come on a Sunday afternoon and hear Hari Katha. How of you are doing it? That's great. Okay, so we'll begin. Yesterday we had a wonderful festival of Ram Navami, and in the morning His Grace Vrajvihari Prabhu, in the afternoon His Grace Gaurang Prabhu gave wonderful nectar, and they have been describing the glories of Lord Ramchandra, their devotees. We heard the glories of Bharat Maharaj, glories of Sumitra Devi, glories of Dasharath, all these wonderful devotees. I just felt one particular devotee I would like to touch upon. So why we should glorify devotees of the Lord? So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this wonderful shloka which comes. This happens just before the dialogue between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. So even before that dialogue actually begins, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he highlights this shloka. So basically, of course, I mean, let me be very candid. So even before presenting this, I actually heard a class of our Nityanand Prabhu Brahmachari, and I wanted to take some inspiration and points. So this is how he began his class. So I will just follow in his footsteps. So this is a wonderful shloka which comes. That shloka makes lots of sense. So even before the dialogue begins, he gives a slight background. And he says, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Samcharya Rama Bhida Bhakta Meghe Swa Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamrutani Gaurabdhir Etair Amuna Vitayanai Tad Nyatva Ratnalayam Prayati. Mentions this verse. The meaning of this verse is very wonderful. He says, this Ramananda Rai is like a cloud. This cloud was empowered, right? Empowered with something, samcharya. You know, he was like fully enthused, inspired. What he was inspired with? Who inspired? Of course, Lord Gauranga. But what did he inspire him with? He says, swa bhakti siddhanta, right? So, our Srila Prabhupada is known as Bhakti Siddhanta. Because if you see, typically, go across the cities, especially in India, you know, Bhakti, everyone knows. But Bhakti Siddhanta, nobody knows. Siddhanta is a truth, is a conclusion, is an affirmation with which you can make a statement. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, there were many of his disciples were there. And this was happening in Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada's that time's disciple, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji, they had a small girl. Her name was Saraswati. Again, coming back to this Saraswati, something very interesting. You know, in our devotee community, we typically name our children after, Krishna's names. Like somebody may name Balram, somebody may name Keshav or Radhika, like that. But we see Prabhupada was naming children of devotees after demigods. See Saraswati, Kartikeya. You can hear Prabhupada in the tapes also. Oh, Kartikeya, please come like that. So Prabhupada had this conviction that great demigods are waiting in line to take birth in the house of devotees. And Prabhupada would name children after demigods' name. It's very interesting, right? So Saraswati, small child, and then she was just running around and she would meet someone and she would say, you know what? And that person would say, what? I mean, small child just coming, you know what? What are you supposed to answer? And she would say, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he would say, oh. I mean, and these people would be absolute newcomers. you can imagine Bombay going here and there, they wanted to eat something, you know, and then they come inside the park and a small child, you know, and obviously, most of you who have been in Western countries, you must, if you see the small children, they literally look like dolls. I mean, I'm just being candid. They actually look like dolls. You say, my God, is it a live child or what's a doll? The first time I saw these children, they look absolutely cute. You can imagine such a cute girl. And you know what? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? And Srila Prabhupada said, because she's hearing from authorities, that's why whatever she repeats is absolute truth. This is known as Bhakti Siddhanta. She didn't have a doubt, right? That was a statement, right? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's a fact. You can't change this fact. This is Siddhanta, right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, the entire Guru Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is very specific on this fact, that the Siddhanta cannot be changed. The details can be different. The rasa can be different, right? Like Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he says that actually some people say that Radha and Krishna, they combine together to form Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Prabodhananda Saraswati is a hardcore devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that they are wrong. I say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is original and he expands into Radha and Krishna. Now this is not a Siddhanta. This is a rasa that is expressing. This is a mood that is expressing. But the Siddhanta is that Radha and Krishna are absolute truth. Right? So the devotees, as they progress in Krishna consciousness, they need to have this ability to understand what is the Siddhanta and what is the rasa. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamrutani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he? He is like the Gaurabdhi. Gaura Abdhi means ocean, right? So what does the ocean do? The water evaporates and that goes into the clouds. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly is surcharging Ramananda Rai with the supreme conclusions about his own self. So Bhakti Siddhanta, about his own bhakti, he is surcharging him. After that, what happens? Etair amuna vitair nai. This cloud then, he distributes water out of that Siddhanta on the same ocean. Right? So the same ocean is there and the clouds pour water on that same ocean. Now the water is coming from the ocean. The cloud is sending water back on the ocean again. But at that time what happens? Sometimes these small shells, they come out. And these shells drink that water. And that water which is falling from the cloud, which is in the form of a small water drop inside the shell, after some time becomes pearls, right? So an ocean enriches itself by giving water to the cloud. Initially, the ocean doesn't have any pearls. It's bereft of pearls, right? But now that the same water has fallen down from the cloud, now it's not only ocean. It has not only waters, but it has pearls also. So he says, Tad Nyatva, and after hearing those same conclusions from Ramananda Rai, what happened? Ratnalayam Prayati. This Gaurabdhi, the ocean of Lord Gauranga, who is the ocean of wonderful good qualities, has now become Ratnalaya, has become a storehouse of wonderful jewels. So Nityananda Prabhu was pointing out this, that actually, or as even Gauranga Prabhu said yesterday, you know, Supreme Lord is full of all the glories. But when he comes to the material world, he's dependent on the sound vibration coming from the mouth of a devotee to spread his own glories. Because Supreme Lord, you know, Krishna says, Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. But how many people take it seriously? You know, it's like nowadays, you know, people often, if you don't have to create any conflict, then you just keep quiet. So if Krishna has to come, if Krishna comes in front of you and says, Sarvadharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, you'll say, oh, okay. Sure, definitely. Not right now, after 5 minutes. And then when Krishna goes, forget everything. Right? It's not possible. So Krishna, even if he comes and makes a statement, difficult. But when Prabhupada comes and says, you are a rascal, you have to surrender to Krishna. Oh, then you actually start thinking about it. My God, why did he call me rascal? Surrendering to Krishna is fine. So when the same message coming from the mouth of a devotee, you know, it has a lot of pearls, a lot of gems, you know, not Cadbury gems, actual gems, So Bhakti Siddhanta gems, the gems of conclusions about Lord. So, therefore, it is very important to glorify devotees, and it is very important because through devotees, the glories of the Lord are multiplied, are revealed, right? So, we were describing the glories of Lord Ramchandra yesterday. So, let's try to analyze the glories of the Lord even more through his devotees today. And I was just taking an opportunity to glorify Mother Sita, taking this. And another thing which I wanted to cover is that the scriptures, which are often misunderstood as mythology by people, one of the reasons that they call scriptures as mythology is because they fail to correlate the scriptures in their own life. Like I was talking to one person in my office, and then the person explaining to me that, you know, why these scriptures, they have so many things, and they are, you know, he was saying that, okay, my parents at home, they watch this Devo Ke Dev Mahadev television serial, and, you know, I just don't understand what's happening in that. This, so many chamatkars are happening, so many this are happening. So I said, but you need to actually be able to correlate. He said, how can you correlate? So I gave him an example, and I have shared this example before also. Like some time back, there was a very famous English movie which became very famous in Bombay called Batman. I think Batman Returns or something. I don't exactly recall. I'm not so movie watcher. But I was somehow, you know, feeling that, you know, what is there in this movie? Because when I was a child, I had seen the earlier parts of this. And in my childhood, one of the best heroes, you know, was Batman. Like I would think that Superman is like imaginary, you know, he doesn't exist. How can somebody fly? But you know, how can He-Man is also imaginary, some planet somewhere, we don't know him. But Batman is real, you know, he's Gotham City, he's in the United States, you know, he's a real guy. So, you know, he was my hero. Right? So I was very curious to read the review of this movie. So I opened the newspaper and read the review. Very nice. This man said, very interesting observation about this movie. He said, in this movie, he said, all the characters, including the villain, and including, I think, some Catwoman or someone who's also there in that, right, who also helps Batman. He said, all the characters, they have shades of gray. You know? That means nobody is white or nobody is black. They have shades of gray. What it means is they manifest their good side and they sometimes manifest their bad side also. And he said, even at the end of the movie, that villain, when he dies, he actually cries. And when he sheds his tears, you know, you kind of feel sympathy towards him. That, you know, that he had a point, you know. He had some reason why he was like this. You know, he was not such a bad man anyways. He had a reason to be bad. Correct? So there are shades of gray. Nobody is fully black or nobody is fully white. He said, but except Batman. He's always correct. He's always white. That's what exactly is Mahabharata. If you actually correlate. All the characters in Mahabharata have shades of gray in one sense. If you read Mahabharata, one of the most impartial literatures, Vyasadeva at certain point of time, he even criticizes Yudhishthir Maharaj and he even glorifies Duryodhana or Karna at certain points of time. Right? So all are subjected to glorification also and at times criticism also. But Krishna is never criticized. He's always white, right? So isn't that the same thing being presented everywhere? Because it is a thirst of the spirit soul to have that one perfect person who is fully white, who doesn't have any shades of gray, like Lord Ramchandra, or like Lord Krishna, or like Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. No shades of gray, always white. There has to be one person in your life. In that way, when you correlate to the scriptures, then you understand, oh, actually scriptures are even better. But if you reject scriptures, then you will keep looking for Batman and Superman and He-Man. But that same supreme personality of Godhead can actually quench your thirst of finding that perfect person. And that's what Vrajavari Prabhu was explaining yesterday. That the same question was asked by Valmiki Muni also. Right? Valmiki Muni, you know, he asked the same question. So I was thinking, like, you know, if in my childhood, if I would have taken Valmiki seriously rather than Mickey Mouse seriously, I would have actually reached to this conclusion, right? So Valmiki Muni, he says that, who is that perfect person, Narada Muni? Please tell me, right? And he said, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra. See his character, Right? So when we correlate the scriptures to our life, they become very meaningful. They become very live. And also when we understand the glories of devotees, our faith in Lord Krishna becomes even more powerful. So we will just take some clues from the previous lectures and go a little ahead. So why to glorify Mother Sita? Very wonderfully pointed out, actually, there are two alternative names of the scripture Ramayana also. So Nityananda Prabhu was quoting the great Vedanta Desikan Acharya and also Srila Govindaraj, who are one of the very prominent acharyas. Like Vedanta Desika is something like a Jiva Goswami of Sri Sampradaya. Almost that caliber, those number of shlokas and tremendous. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to read his Garuda Panchashat. There's one devotee, one astrologer told me once that, you know, for devotees, they should also read Garuda Mantra, like that. So I said, where to find this Garuda Mantra? So this Garuda Mantra is in this one scripture called as Garuda Panchashat. Now this Garuda Panchashat in one, so Panchashat means 50. So the 50 verses glorifying Lord Garuda, written by this Vedanta Desika. And in each of the line of each verse is 32 characters. And he doesn't even break them. So it's one word of 32 characters, like this. And you just keep on reading. I mean, I couldn't even read it. It's so difficult. And he was creating it. What to speak of memorizing, you know. I mean, I know there is one school, you know, in Pune. If you want your child to get admitted in that school, you should know 15 chapters of Bhagavad Gita by heart. And people have tough time in doing that. And Bhagavad Gita is 8 plus 8, only 16 characters in a line. And not only 4 shlokas. That's it. And here 32 characters. And like that, 4 lines. Impossible. Right? So Vedanta Deshikam has composed such wonderful literature. So he has given his commentaries on Ramayana and also Govindaraj. So they say that there are two alternative names of the scripture Ramayana. And it says one alternative name is Paulasya Vadh. That means this is all about killing Ravan. That's it. This talks about killing Ravan. And another is Sitayam Charito Mahat. Then two names, he says. Sitayam Charito Mahat, the glories of Mother Sita and killing of Ravan are two other alternative names of Ramayana. That's what they explain. So it's an alternative name, glories of Mother Sita. So we'll just take go a little ahead from whatever we're hearing. So we heard about how Lord Ramchandra was ultimately sent to forest. And thereafter meeting Bharat Maharaj, he asked Bharat to go back, rule the kingdom, take the responsibility of maintaining the kingdom, gave his wonderful golden ornate slippers, which were taken back in wonderful procession and on umbrella and on a palanquin on the top of an elephant. Wonderful. And then that happened. After that, so this whole thing happened in Chitrakoot. So in Chitrakoot, Lord Ramchandra really had wonderful sweet pastimes. But at some point of time, Lord Ramchandra understood that my mission is not to have sweet pastimes in the forest of Chitrakoot. My mission is actually to enter into Dandakaranya forest and do the Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Dushkrutam part also. Right? So then he entered into this Dandakaranya forest. And there in Dandakaranya forest, he came across many demons. He killed them even when Sita Devi was with him. And finally comes this wonderful demoness, who is one of the most entertaining character of the entire Ramayana. And her name was Shurpanakha. And Gaurang Prabhu was explaining in his class that the whole Ramayana is actually in a Karuna Ras. It's like, you know, it kind of invokes the feelings of sadness. Now, interestingly, if you see Srimad Bhagavatam also, the 10th canto is the wonderful glories of Lord Shri Krishna. Right? Before that comes 9th canto. And at the end of 9th canto, Sukadeva Goswami says that one who studies this 9th canto very nicely, which is essentially glories of Lord Ramchandra, he says will be freed from the disease of envy. Right? So to be able to enter into Vrindavan Leela, you should be free from envy. Otherwise, that fully right-charactered Lord Krishna will also appear grey to you. If you have not overcome the disease of envy and you enter into the epitome of 10th canto, which is the Pancharasadhyaya, what they call as? Sorry. Rasa Panchadhyaya. Thank you so much. I kind of, yeah. So Rasa Panchadhyaya, you know, you would definitely have envy, right? So how to get rid of this envy, you know? So I was hearing one lecture given by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj in Mayapur. And he made a wonderful point. He said, when you feel actually envious, like suppose you have a colleague, let's say you have a classmate in your class, and you both have been struggling to get that first rank, and somehow he gets the first rank and you miss it by few marks, and you become very envious of that person, right? But the mother of that child will not be envious of the child, although the mother might have failed also in that exam in her childhood, right? But the child becomes first, you know, for rest of her life she'll keep glorifying the child. Oh, my child became, although after that exam he may fail, but she'll keep glorifying the rest of the life that, oh, my child became first, huh? My child was first, right? So why does she doesn't have envy, although she might have failed in the exam? Because she has an attitude of, ye mera bachcha hai. Ye mera bachcha hai, right? So this feeling of mine, you can conquer envy. So suppose some godmother, some devotee is doing fantastic book distribution, and you are struggling to do, and you start feeling envious of it. But the moment you feel, oh, he's my godbrother has distributed so many books, then you don't feel envious. Why? Because he's my godbrother, right? So the moment you develop this feeling of mamatva, mamata, you know, the envy part goes away, right? And only when you have shed tears for someone's benefit, then you actually start developing that mamata. The mother has shed tears for the child when he was a small child, right? So when you shed tears for Lord Ramchandra, you shed tears at, oh, why he is separated from Mother Sita? Oh, why he is undergoing so much of torture? Why he is suffering so much? Why Mother Sita has to be banished to forest? Why she has to go back in earth again? Why? When this crying happens, then when the same Mother Sita and Ram come as Radha and Krishna and dance, then you will be happy. You will not envy them. You will see, oh, they were separated like this by the will of providence, but now just see they're dancing so wonderfully in the forest of Vrindavan. So that crying is required to be able to overcome this envy, that crying for the Lord. So this Karuna Ras is there. Of course, this is my understanding. I may be wrong. This is just, I not read this anywhere. This is just my understanding. This is a disclaimer. So this Karuna Ras, and so throughout the Ramayana, you will see this immense feelings of separations, you know, suddenly coming up. But there's one portion where there is some humor and joke, and that is when Shurpanakha comes and meets Lord Ramchandra. That's what is mentioned. There is some relaxation, some place for some joke. So actually it's mentioned that this Shurpanakha came to see Lord Ram, and you know, she had the power to convert herself into one of the most beautiful ladies if she wanted to. But she was so captivated by the beauty of Lord Ramchandra that she forgot that I can convert myself into a beautiful lady also. She forgot. She just went like that. And that form in which she approached Lord Ramchandra, you know, Valmiki Muni compares the form of Lord Ram and her and gives that wonderful, hilarious comparison, which I remember Radhanath Maharaj gave in Nasik once. And every one of us was just laughing and laughing and laughing, because that is the most humorous part of Ramayana. And it's mentioned that how Shurpanakha was approaching Lord Ram with lusty desires, and the comparison is given that Lord Ram's eyes were wonderfully beautiful like lotus petals, and Shurpanakha's eyes were like deep, dark, dry wells. And Lord Ramchandra's waist was so thin like a lion, and Shurpanakha's waist was big like a war drum. And Lord Ramchandra's hair were silky. Now, they're matted hairs. Please know that, right? Yesterday we heard that they were matted hairs by the sap of banyan tree. But even in that mattedness, they were so beautiful. Like silk, black, wonderful, silky hair. Bluish color, reflecting the bluish color. You have seen that? Like, you know, like in my childhood, I would read these comics. And there they would show black hair of different people with bluish shade in it. And I could never understand why this bluish shade is there. You know, but then the same descriptions are there in scriptures also. Even that is coming from the scriptures, right? So, and this wonderful silky, and the hair of Shurpanakha were coppery red, like spikes. Nowadays, spikes are also very famous, by the way. Shurpanakha would actually defeat all your fashion with her spikes. But naturally coppery red, not dyed. They're naturally coppery red. People actually do, like, people, they put this type of hair right nowadays, you know, the green and yellow like that. That's all nothing in front of Shurpanakha. It's just imitation, cheap imitation. That is original. Spikes of coppery, fair, red hair. And, you know, and in that way she approaches Lord Ram and he says, oh, you are so beautiful, I am so beautiful. And why do you want to marry this thin lady? She looks so emaciated. You know, look at me, I am so beautiful, why don't you accept? So Lord Ram just looked at, okay, before that, she actually went to Lord Ram and she first said, who are you? The first question was, you know, who are you? And immediately Lord Ram gave her entire family history. I mean, how can you speak like that to a stranger? Suppose you're going in a train, somebody asks you, okay, what is your name? And you say, okay, my name was so-and-so, my father's name is so-and-so, my business is so-and-so, I belong to this city, actually my ancestors belong to that city, then we actually moved in this year. And he said, I didn't ask you all this. But Ram, he is just so simple. I remember, you know, our Krishnachandra Prabhu, now I'm quoting that name anyways. Probably he's not around. Okay. You know, I was just down and I asked him a question, Prabhuji, you look very slim nowadays, you know. And he just stood there and he gave me the whole schedule. He said, okay, what I do, where I go, how I run, and what type of whole thing. And I was thinking, you know, my God, you know, his father was a great worshipper of Lord Ramchandra. And in that same, you know, that same genes, the same consciousness is even coming into this family. I just asked a simple question, which is nothing to do with. And he just stood there and told the whole thing. And who am I to know all these things? You know. But that same quality of Lord Ramchandra, that simplicity of heart, you know, just expressed everything on a simple question. So Lord Ramchandra just, you know, shared that. And even though she was stunned, you know, who is this man telling me everything? So then she expressed her desire. Okay, you know, I want to marry. And she gave a nice proposal also. She said, we'll sit in the aeroplanes and we'll go around moving this Dandakaranya forest. And you'll see wonderful beauty and everything. So Lord Ramchandra just simply laughed at it. He just laughed. Because what to do, you know? So she created some humor even to for Lord Ramchandra, for some Sukruti. And then Lord Ram said, he said, I'm already married to this lady, you can see. It's quite evident that she's around, so she's my wife. But my brother is there. And, you know, you can actually approach him. He's still not married. And he's also equally beautiful, if you can see. So she went and he says, Valmiki Muni says that she was so maddened by lust, you know, that as soon as she had another object, she immediately went there. You know, she's maddened. So she immediately went, you know, and then Lakshman also said, actually, you know, I am just a servant. And, you know, if you marry me, I am servant of Sita. You will have to be servant of Sita, which you may not like. But I also see that there is some truth in your words. This Sita, she's actually very emaciated. Also, another point that was made, that Sita was very young. Like when she married, she was just 6 years old. So, and this particular thing happened towards the end of the Vanvas. So my 14 years Vanvas, so 13 years have already passed. So very in the peak of her youth, 19 years age girl. And the age of Shurpanakha was 1,000 years when she approached that. So Valmiki Muni says, 1,000-year-old lady. And she's calling Sita as old lady, this old, ugly woman like that. So Lakshman, you know, he understood it. Lakshman said, actually, I see some truth in your word. This lady is actually very old. Why don't you go and again approach my brother? He may accept you this time. Please try again. And as you know, once Sridhama Prabhu was explaining the same story, he said, and then started the wonderful game of table tennis. So Ramchandra was sending Sita back to, Shurpanakha back to Lakshman. Lakshman was talk. And forehand, backhand, chop, whatever, everything was happening. Right? And then suddenly, you know, she realized, oh my God, these people are just playing with me. So then she said, this Sita, she is the cause of my suffering. Come on, I mean, how did she become the cause of your suffering? And I remember this when in the childhood we had this Ramayana series. And at that time I had practically no connection with Krishna conscious philosophy or anything like that. And I saw this episode. And there was this one episode, this Ravan comes. And he says, oh, sare samasyaon ki jad Sita, सारे समस्याओं का कारण सीता. And I was thinking, come on, you're mad or what? you went there, you took her here, and now you're calling her as the root cause of all problems. This is how the demon philosophy, this is the demon psychology. You know, just put the blame on someone, find a scapegoat. I was reading this, you know, such a, again, drawing a correlation, right? You know, in Chinsurd, I was speaking with one devotee, in Chinsurd, if you go in Pune, there is one school. This person, he brings out children of a particular tribe and he trains them in that school, right? And these children are trained in such a way that somehow by the time they become 8 years old, they can actually do practical work. So that the child is actually practically able to, you know, create a wall if required. He can fix fans and lights. He can work on computers and create printouts at the age of 8. So this man whom I was talking to, he was briefing me about this school. He said, I asked him, why to make these children self-employed or they can earn something? He said, these children come from a tribe, and this tribe in Maharashtra, this, you know what this tribe is meant for? The people from this tribe, when you commit some sinful activity or you commit a wrong deed and you belong from a higher class, and you cannot be punished, then the person from this tribe is pulled up in the society and he is blamed. He did it. Right? Like that Mera Baap Chor Hai writing on the hand. You know? He is told like that. No, he did it. And then he says, oh yes, I did it. And then everyone comes and beats him. And this man is very happy, making a scapegoat. This is a custom in Maharashtra even now in some areas. Can you imagine? So this is the philosophy of demons, right? Find some scapegoat, he did it. And this man is actually rescuing these people, these children, and actually making them, and that's what they get paid for. So they are bitten like this, and then somebody comes and throws some food at them, so throws some money at them, okay, thank you for taking this blame. And then for the rest of the life, that person is known as, blamed as, you know, he's a sinful person. You know, he's a rapist, he's a whatever, murderer, he's a, you know, like that, abuser. Rest of the life. This is demon psychology. It exists, right? So Ravan, Shurpanakha, blaming, oh, this Sita is the cause of all problems. And she jumped. It is mentioned, Valmiki Muni mentions that just like the Rohini meteor attacks a star and destroys the star. You know, you've seen this, meteors coming and colliding. So scientists, when they discover, they feel that, oh, they have discovered something very new. And Valmiki Muni already writing it in millions of years back in his scripture. Just like a Rohini meteor colliding against a star, in that way, Shurpanakha attacked Mother Sita. And at that time, Ramchandra, then he interfered. He said, Lakshman, enough of jokes. Now this lady is attacking Mother Sita. Do action immediately. Now, he did not say whether to kill or to punish. Did not specifically say that. Right? And Lakshman immediately took his chopper, chopped off his nose and ears, and then immediately Shurpanakha was crying out loudly, and she left that scene with both her arms raised, not chanting the holy names, crying out the names of her brothers, Kara, Dushan, Ravan, and all these things, and she ran and disappeared into the forest. Now, after this, then the Kara and Dushan also came. They also attacked Lord Ramchandra with their soldiers. Lord Ramchandra defeated them. Now another interesting thing happened. Now one of the brothers, his name was Akampana. So Shamanam Prabhu was actually narrating this, I remember. This is how the demons name their children also. Akampana. Kampana means shiver. So you name your child that when you go in front of somebody, he will start shivering. Like that, Akampana. So this Akampana, he went to Ravana and he told about this Ram and told about Sita and told about the whole story. And Ravan was fixed. He said, okay, now let's go and grab this Sita. So Ravan started coming there. But before that, he talked to Marich. He said, Marich, you know, I have a plan. So we will do something like this. And Marich said, Ravan, you know, he said, you know, I know who is Lord Ram. I know his power. Many, many years back, when me and my brother, we had taken the form of a stag, a big deer, and we were creating havoc in the forest. And this Ram came, and I didn't know his power, so I attacked Ram also. And he sent one arrow to me. That arrow hit me, and I was flew miles away into the ocean. And I was down inside the ocean for many, many years unconscious by that one arrow of Lord Ramchandra. He said, since then, he said, even if I hear the word Rah, I become scared. I go to some of my relatives and I ask, what is the name of your daughter? And they say Ratna. But even before they complete the word Ratna, I hear Rah and I run away from that place. Even the word Rah scares me. And then he, of course, glory told about Lord Ram's power. And he said, you already have so many beautiful queens with you. So many of them, Mandotari is no less. Why you want to go after this Sita and Ram and just let them be, separate in their area, you be separate in your area. Don't combine, be happy wherever you are. So he was convinced, he went back to Lanka. Actually, that was at that time he was convinced. But then Shurpanakha came again. And she went to Ravana. And she said, of course, she first tried her own tactics. So, what happened to you? Why your nose is bleeding? Why your ears are bleeding? And everything. So she explained who did all that. Now see, even if you see in today's world, many of these dadas and gundas and all that, right? If some person is beaten up and he belongs to that gang of this one particular gang and he goes, boss, mere ko attack hua, ye hua, wo hua. First the assessment is made that if I make a counter attack for this stupid person, how much loss will I have, right? If the loss is big, the gunda will say, okay, theek hai yaar, chhodna yaar, tu kyun itna ye karta hai, baju mein rakh de, mandavli kar de, chalo, mandavli kar de. He will not immediately attack unless, because he says the counter attack is very risky. It could be dangerous. Kshatriyas don't attack always, all the time. Sometimes, just keeping quiet also may be very helpful. So, Ravan was not taking it seriously. He said, okay, abhi theek hai, ho gaya na, chhodna abhi kya. Don't take it seriously. But, then she knew what is the weak point of Ravan. And then she started describing the glory of Sita's beauty. She started describing different limbs of her body and the beauty which those limbs exhibit. And Ravan was giving patient hearing, submissive oral reception to the Vani of Shurpanakha, Dasi, whatever you want to call it. Right? And just by hearing these wonderful features, his lust was getting instigated. And then at the end, she added, when he was like fully in rage of his lust with full top, that time she said, and I wanted to take her as your wife. And that's what I went there. And this Lakshman actually cut my nose. Ah, then he became angry. Oh, now I will go again. Because she had pressed the right button. Right, he was fully in fury. And then Ravan went and grabbed Mother Sita away with the whole plan. And that time, even though Marich was, we yesterday saw the wonderful drama. Although Marich was saying so much convincing that don't go, you don't understand. But then he was convinced, though, I have to go. He had become servant of his lust. Now, what is the correlation that we draw from this? Of course, two nice lessons also, which we can learn. But even before, what is the correlation that we draw from this? See, everyone is lusty, no doubt. The fact that we're in the material world, we are victims of lust, right? But we can choose to avoid scenes. We can choose to avoid advertisements. We can choose to avoid depictions wherever lust increases, right? And if somebody forces that type of depiction, somebody forces that type of display on you, it's natural that the lust will be aroused. Correct? So we see nowadays in so many billboards, even in the BST buses, such, horrible depictions of, girls wearing not sufficient garments on their body and, depictions of lust. And sometimes, those pictures are like you're in an auto rickshaw behind a bus. I have seen, right? And that type of, horrible picture is just like here. And the rickshaw passes very close from the bus and you are like, oh my God, I don't want to see it. Such a horrible thing. Now, just give a thought. These women, who actually agree to do this type of depictions, they never become the victim of lust because they are in high circles. Nobody attacks them. Nobody destroys them. They get their money paid. They arouse the lust in simple people's heart when it is completely quiet. They are undisturbed. But with these aroused lust, who becomes the victim? Poor simple ladies who are going in the street, who are not doing any types of depictions. Right? Shurpanakha aroused the lust of Ravan, but Shurpanakha was not affected. Who was affected by that? Sita Devi, who was in the forest. Right? This type of mentality is bad. Right? And when these type of actresses, these type of models, they are interviewed, like this entire Delhi rape case which happened, this one very famous actress who's known for doing such type of, I can't even speak this on Vasasan, what, you know what type of songs they are called as in English movies, right? Known for that. And she was interviewed, and you know, what is your reaction on that? She said, you know, people's mindset have to be changed. What nonsense? Which people's mindset have to be changed? Huh? You, for your money, for your rival competition with other models and other rival actresses, you are doing this type of depictions boldly. That is affecting people, and some other poor, simple women are getting destroyed, right? And you make a statement like this in public? Huh? This is Shurpanakha consciousness. We have to understand, Shurpanakha is not there millions of years back in history. They still exist. I'm not saying these people are Shurpanakha like that, but that tendency, that potency, that still exists. And we need to curb it if possible. Like our doctor, what's his name? I have not seen him in recent times. There was one such exhibition going on here in Chowpatty. Some propaganda, some girls with very less clothes, and they are doing something here right in Chowpatty. Some advertisement, some shooting was going on. This guy simply made a phone call to police. The police came and captured all of them under law of, there are certain laws by which you cannot do such demonstrations. So he took an action, right? So such elements within our society need to be curbed, at least in our own behavior. These Shurpanakha propensities should not come out. Now, of course, Govindraj Acharya and Vedanta Deshikan Acharya, they give very nice, humble, simple purports, very sweet. So what he says, very wonderful, that although Ramchandra did not say whether to kill Shurpanakha or not to kill Shurpanakha, what did Lakshman do? He just cut off the nose. Or for sure. I remember once Radhanath Maharaj said that nose is the sign of prestige. Like, raise my nose like that. Right? Well, your false ego, everything is on nose. Like, even the beauty of a person sometimes is based on the nose. Right? So he just cut off the nose only. So the whole prestige, false ego, everything cut off, finished, right? And then he says, but then why didn't he kill her? Trataka was killed, right, in the forest, but Shurpanakha was spared. Why? The description is given because, he says, when Sita Devi was being taken to the, when Sita Devi, after Lord Ramchandra was given the order to go into forest, and Sita Devi was, Lord Ramchandra told Sita Devi that you please stay back. Sita Devi said that, she said, you are my life and I am your body. I am like the body and you are my life. Right? She compared herself to the body, the limb. So a devotee considers, Krishna considers devotees as his own limbs. Like a wonderful description is also given that how Lord Krishna, although he purified Kubja, you know, he did not fully touch her actually. When she wanted Krishna to come with her, he did not fully touch her. But the same Krishna very happily touches his friends, they climb on his shoulders, they play with him. So description is given because Krishna considers his devotees as his own limbs. Like sometimes you are walking in crowd and somebody just pushes like this to you, you say, hey, kyo push kiya? Like that. But your own child may jump on your shoulder and embrace you, and you don't say like that. Why? Because it's like my own body part. My own body part touches my other body part, I don't feel disgusted. But somebody other's body part touches my body part, I feel disgusted. So devotee, Krishna considers devotees as his own body parts. Right? So because Shurpanakha was attacking the body part, that is Mother Sita of Lord Ramchandra, that's why her body part got cut off. She didn't attack her life, his life. She attacked just the body part. So just the body part was cut off. And another explanation is given is because she was personally present there, and because she is the murti of compassion, she is forgiveness personified, the murti of motherhood, and no mother would like her child to get killed in front of her own eyes. So imagine Sita Devi's consciousness, even in that situation, was like a mother. Although this lady is attacking her with weapons and whatever she was attacking with, but her consciousness was like a mother. So therefore, Sita Devi would not have liked if Shurpanakha was killed. Therefore, she said, okay. Therefore, Lakshman, knowing her consciousness, just cut off her limbs. That's all. Didn't kill. However, Ravan, he was exact opposite consciousness. Sita Devi, Shurpanakha wanted Ram, but not Sita. And Ravan wanted Sita, but not Ram. And he wanted to kill Ram. So he wanted to kill the soul. He wanted to kill the life of all living entities, which is Lord Ram. So the punishment he got was that his life was removed. Life was taken away. And he was unfortunate that Sita Devi was not around in the battlefield of Ramayana. If Sita Devi was present, probably he wouldn't have been killed. And that we will describe further. So these are some lessons that we can learn from the glories of Mother Sita. Right? Because Mother Sita was there, that's why the life was spared. And another story is given of Mother Sita's glories. Even I had this doubt. Like yesterday we heard of this beautiful pastime of Mother Sita. Why that bow was selected as the, you know, qualifying criteria for getting married to her. Because in her childhood, you know, once Gaurang Prabhu was saying that once some flowers have to be plucked. And you know, the bows also have that this at the end, you know. The bow is like this and this. So children, they are very observating about what shapes are required to pluck. So, okay, that bow is a good element. So they picked up the bow and pulled some flowers. And when the minister saw that, oh, said, my God, how this child picking up that bow in one just one hand. And then Lord thought, Janak Maharaj thought that if she has to have a husband, has to be equally competent. So then that entire... Now, an interesting thing is, in that whole marriage swayamvar, Ravan was also present. And Ravan also tried to pick up the bow, and he could not move that bow even by a millimeter. So if Sita Devi would have just slapped him when he touched her, finished, chutney means nothing, as Gaurang Prabhu said, nothing would have remained of him. It's like I had heard in my childhood that suppose if a tiger slaps you, tiger, then your head will actually move 360 degrees like this. That much strength. So I'm sure if Sita would have slapped him, all 10 heads would have moved in 360 degrees. You know, because that was anyone who can lift the bow in one simple hand. You can imagine how much power. Then the question is why she didn't do it. Why she allowed herself to get kidnapped by Ravan? Why? What is the answer? Sorry? No, but he ultimately picked her up, right? On her shoulder, on his shoulder, and then he ran away. He touched. But she didn't exercise that power because he said, Sita Devi understood the character of Lord Ram. And this Acharya explains that Lord Ram means, he says, one word, one arrow, and one wife. Bas, that's it. One word. Once the word is given that I will do this, then it has to be done. Nobody can revoke it. Nobody on the entire universal creation has the power to change it. One arrow. Once the arrow is taken, that arrow will not go in vain. That has to kill. Not like multiple arrows, one or two, three chances, four chances. No. One arrow. For Marij, he just took one arrow. And Marij was finished. For Wali, one arrow. No multiple choices. Because that is Lord Ramchandra. Just one arrow, one word, and one wife. And Lord Ramchandra had promised the demigods that I will take care of Ravan. Now, you don't have to... I mean, the demigods also... I mean, we don't criticize them, but in Ramayana, one particular episode, I was just reading it, that Ram and Sita, they approached the ashram of one sage. I forgot the name. And when they approached, Indra was there. And he was discussing something with that sage. And suddenly as Lord Ram approached there, Indra noticed that Lord Ram is there. He immediately sat on the chariot and went away. Right? So why? I mean, Ram is there, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Valmiki Muni writes, he says he didn't want to meet Lord Ram before killing Ravan. That means, tumko bola hai na kaam karne ke liye, now finish it and then only come to me and report. Something like that. So he didn't want to, very strange actually, difficult for us to understand this type of behavior. So he just went away. He didn't even talk with him. Right? So Ram was under performance pressure actually, that I have to kill Ravan. And Sita Devi knew it, that he has taken the vow, he has to do his job, nobody can stop him. But Sita Devi as a mother wanted to give him a chance. Maybe if I speak to him, maybe if I convince him, he will agree. Right? So all throughout Sita Devi's stay, although Ravan would come every day and he would give poems, write poems on Mother Sita, on her beauty, he would recite poems. But she was like to the point, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, she would preach. She used all techniques, Sama, Dama, Danda, Bhed, constantly preaching to Ravan, that please surrender. She tried many techniques. She said, you are a king from such a great dynasty. The great kings from the great dynasties always surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead. You please surrender to Lord Ram, he will forgive you. When that did not work, she said, but Lord Ram is an ocean of all mercy. You have committed so many sinful activities, but if you surrender to Lord Ram, he will forgive you. That also did not agree. Then she became angry. She would say, I am the most chaste woman. I have the power to burn you to ashes. But I am not doing that because I am giving you time to improve. That also did not work. Then finally there was no choice that Ram had to come and kill Ravan. But Sita Devi went ahead to take that chance. Let me give him a chance. Right? So it was good that she was not there on the battlefield. Otherwise Ravan would have been spared. Because her vibrations were so positive. Her presence was so important. Right? So therefore, what the acharyas say is that this concept of approaching Srimati Radharani is so important. I mean, even if you don't approach her, even if she's just around, you're not even approaching, but she's just around there. Right? Even that is sufficient. And in our altar, in fact, we have Vishakha Sakhi also, and we have Lalita Sakhi also, and we have so much of more mercy. And on the occasions of special festival, all eight are there. So even more mercy. They just have to be around. You don't even have to go and say, Radharani, please. You can just speak to Krishna, and if she's around, is taken care of. She just has to be around. So that is the potency. That is the potency of Radharani. That is the potency of Mother Sita. That she just had to be around. And another example is given. There's another demon. Now there's a small connection to this demon, and we'll go a little ahead in that. So there's another, actually he was a crow, and he was actually the son of Indra, Jayanta, who was cursed probably, or he had taken the form of a crow. I don't exactly remember. And when Mother Sita and Ram were taking rest in their hut, this crow came and he started attacking Sita's chest. And Mother Sita tolerated it for some time actually. She didn't immediately complain. But when that pain became more intense, she had to wake up Lord Ram. Let's see. And Lord Ram got up, he saw blood on Sita Devi's chest and the crow around, and immediately took this small Durva grass, Kusha grass, and just threw that on the crow. And that crow started running, and the Durva grass was following him like an arrow, like a solid arrow. And this crow went all over the universe. He went to different lokas. That small Durva grass was still following him everywhere. That's the power of Lord's bow. Actually, we are so proud of our aeroplanes and all that. But you know, once they cross the atmosphere, I don't know how they... and even the fuel is exhausted. They don't go beyond that. It's finished. They have to land somewhere. Right? Like Prabhupada gives his analogy for Mayavad. That is, rockets which are sent in the outer universe, they have to land on some planet. So Mayavadis may stay in the sky for some time, but they have to land somewhere ultimately, even after achieving perfection. So they can't go back to Godhead from there. Prabhupada gives example. But this arrow was following everywhere. And finally this crow came, fell at the feet of Mother Sita, completely tired, right? And he was actually said that he was even not looking at Lord Ramchandra. He was just begging forgiveness of Mother Sita. Mother Sita lifted that crow in her own hands and moved his mouth towards Lord Ram. He said, he will forgive you. Please beg forgiveness. And then Lord Ram completely forgave that crow. And in fact, and of course, one arrow, once it is left, it can't go anywhere else. It has to act. So then that it went into his eye and destroyed one eye. So that one crow also was not killed because Sita Devi personally requested on behalf of Lord Ramchandra. Now about this crow, there's another very beautiful story. Now you know all that Lord Ram, because I want to draw a small correlation and then we can probably end. And we have some more points to cover quickly. We'll cover that. Okay. So this story, actually nobody knew except Lord Ram and Mother Sita. Nobody knew this story. Right? So when Hanumanji went to search for Mother Sita, and he found Mother Sita, and Lord Ramchandra had given him his special ring. He said, because Sita Devi will not believe that you are coming from me, so then you show this ring to her. And when you show this ring to her, then she will accept that you are actually coming from me. So when he bowed down to Mother Sita was actually scared to see him, but then he glorified Lord Ramchandra, and he also showed this one particular ring. Now the time came for Hanumanji to go back. So Hanumanji said, told Mother Sita, how can I convince Lord Ram that I actually met you? So she said, you tell him this story. The story of this crow demon, this Jayanta. Because nobody knows, except Lord Ram and me, nobody knows this story. So since you are going and I have met you, that will be a proof that you have actually met me. Now when I heard this story for the first time, and she told that story of course, and Hanumanji went back, told that story. When I heard the story for the first time, I had a doubt in my mind that the Sita who Ravana captured was not the real Sita, right? She was a Maya Sita. That was another form of Sita. And that Maya Sita came out and Maya Sita was captured by Ravan. So how does Maya Sita know this story? If only Sita Devi knows and Ram knows, that means Maya Sita does not know. So I asked, because there is nothing like knowledge transfer, you know. Like nowadays, when you do office, when you are leaving the job, some other person comes, there is something called as KT, called knowledge transfer. Because he is taking over now. But Sita Devi didn't do any knowledge transfer with the new Sita who is coming now. She entered the fire, the new came out. But no kind of knowledge transfer. And specifically this particular story, no such mention at least of KT between the two Sitas, right? Then how did she know? So I asked this to one of my very close friends, Gaur Sundar Prabhu, you know, Gaur Brahmachari. And Gaur Sundar Prabhu told me very nice. Gaur Sundar Prabhu said that when Ravan approached Mother Sita, he approached with a desire to enjoy her. But when Hanumanji approached Mother Sita in Lanka, he approached with a desire to serve. So who manifested in front of him was the real Sita. And that's why she could tell the real story. I mean, of course, this is what he told me. So you approach, so difference is, what is difference between Maya and, what is different between Maya and Krishna? The forgetfulness of Krishna gives rise to Maya. What is the difference? Are you, like Prabhupada would say that my temples are nothing less than the spiritual worlds. So what is the difference? Are you in the spiritual world right now? How many of you have conviction that you are in the spiritual world right now? I can't raise my hand because I don't have the conviction. So if you're sitting in the temple and you're thinking about Krishna and thinking about service to Krishna, then you are in spiritual world. And you could be actually in spiritual world thinking about how to enjoy and immediately you'll come back here. You'll be sent back. Right? So it all upon what is your consciousness. The spiritual and Maya is depending on how you're approaching. Right? So because he approached with the service, you know, that's why. Now, how to correlate? So I was just thinking that sometime back in our congregation, there was this fad of Indian cows, right? So we should have milk of an Indian cow, and we should have the Jersey cow and the Indian cow and this differences and all that. And then, you know, the hump, cow with the hump is an Indian cow. And then you should, if you serve an Indian cow. So then many people came and they asked me this question that, you know, if I serve an Indian cow also, I'll get benefit? Or I have to only serve a Jersey cow also, will I get benefit or not? So Jersey cow and Indian cow are like Maya Sita and True Sita. If you are approaching with the mood of service, then even Jersey cow will give the same benefit of serving an Indian cow. But if you are approaching her with the mood of sucking the milk out and enjoying her, then she will be like Durga Devi. Even an Indian cow will be like Durga Devi if you are sucking the milk out. So that's the difference we have to understand. So this is like that, because that story could be only known by Mother Sita. And because the approach was made in the form of service, therefore, immediately, the same mercy was manifested. And another example is given of Sita Devi forgiving someone. So actually what happens is Sita Devi has, there are three separations that happen in the life of Lord Ramchandra from Mother Sita. And the first separation is when Ravan takes her away. And in this separation, the quality of Krupa comes out. Like Shurpanakha was like Ravan was forgiven. Sita went with Ravan just to forgive him and give him a chance. That was her Krupa aspect. And another aspect is given that when she was in the forest of Ashok Vatika, and Hanumanji came and said, Mother Sita, I have got a good news for you. She said, what is that? Said, Ravana has been killed and Lord Ram is victorious. And as soon as he announced like that, she was stunned. She didn't know what to do. So Hanumanji became little, what happened? So Mother Sita, are you all right? She said, yes, yes, yes. I'm just so stunned. I'm just so happy. But I don't have anything to give you. I just don't have anything to give you. I just want to give you so many nice gifts that you have got this good news. He said, Mother Sita, don't worry. If you don't have any gift, I have something to ask from you. Can I ask? She said, yes, sure. Hanumanji said, all these demonesses who have been harassing you, he said, I have a special desire. I have a desire to harass them, but in my own monkey ways. He said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to, okay, now let me read this. This is nice. He said, I want to hit them with my fist. I want to kick them with my feet. I want to tear them with my teeth. And I want to rip them apart with my fingers. And with my blows, I want to make a pulp out of them. And Sita Devi again went into stun after hearing all this. He said, what happened? Again, why you are stunned? He said, how can you speak like this? And so he said, because we are monkeys, we can do anything. He said, but you have been in association of my husband for so long. You should come out of this monkeyness. So he said, but they have harassed you. I want to take the revenge. Sita Devi said, no, 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 no. He said, don't worry. He said, they were not harassing me out of their own choice. Said, they are ordered by a wrong master. Like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also, he points out different faults of different varnas. Like in Brahman Varna, there is a fault. What is the fault of Brahman Varna? That sometimes you have to kill animals in sacrifice. And animals' sacrifice may not be successful and the animal may actually die without getting a new body. Or a Kshatriya has to sometime go on war and he has to, on a sample basis for his practice, sometimes kill living entities because it's required for his practice, right? That is a flaw in the Kshatriya Varna. The flaw in the Vaishya Varna is that sometimes he has to lie. Sometimes, nay, most of the times he has to lie. Otherwise, you can't make business, right? Even if he's chanting 16 rounds in the morning, when he's on business, he has to lie. And the fault with the Shudra is that he has to accept a wrong master. So she said, such faults should be forgiven. You should not take... And then she said, and what about your master, Lord Ramchandra? Do you think that he's a perfect master? Even he has faults. And he said, oh, what are you talking about? Yes, he said, he left the citizens of Ayodhya like that. Just isn't the duty of a king to rule the citizens when they love him so much? He just left them like that, broke their hearts. Isn't that a fault? And did I not do a fault that I left your master and ran after a small deer? And that's why I got kidnapped. It's my fault. And you are speaking like this of killing them. That is your fault also. So everyone is having faults, so now you should just forgive them. Don't do this heinous activity of killing them. So because of her presence, even though the demonesses had not even approached her, like Ramchandra says that, if someone comes to me and says that I am yours, I will forgive him. But Sita Devi, you don't even have to approach her and say that I am yours or whatever. But she'll forgive you. That is the all merciful characteristics of Lord Shiva, Mother Sita, so wonderfully manifested in her first separation. Right? And then the second separation took place when Lord Ramchandra banished Mother Sita in the forest. And as she was being carried on the chariot, she spoke to Lakshman, and Lakshman broke down. And he told the reason why she has been got to this forest in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And Mother Sita said, Lord Ram, he said, what did I do? I have served him so well. Just because few people are saying like this, he took such a big step of abandoning me altogether. But she said, but still, ultimately, he is my Lord. So the Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam, you know, that particular aspect of Atma Nikshepa, that, you know, this Kshepa means, you know what, you know, Kshepanastra, missile. So when something wrong happens to a normal person, we throw missiles at God. You know, why you did like this to me? You did like this to you, everything. That's why Govind Prabhu was explaining in Bhagavatam class that devotees have to mature to own the responsibility of the wrong things which are happening in their own life. It takes a certain level of spiritual maturity. I'm speaking this, I don't have that myself also. But it takes a certain level of spiritual understanding to own, to understand that yes, Atma Phalam Vipakam, what is that shloka? Yeah, this is actually happening because of me only. I am the cause, I am the responsible person behind this. So otherwise we start throwing Kshepanastra at Lord, throwing your missiles. So Nikshepa, that means no Kshepanastra, that means complete accept, like, you know, whatever you do. So Sita Devi did not like collect some favorable women in the society and launch some morcha and again, you know, went talking around and made a media called media also. This is what my husband is doing to me and how is this rectified? And then Ram was called and then interviewed. Okay, nothing like that. She just, okay. That's her quality of Atma Nikshepa that she demonstrated in this particular separation. And then the final separation took place where it actually became too much for her at that time. So finally when Lord Ram met her and he said, okay, now you can come with me. After Lava and Kusha were born and then the entire that war and everything happened. So then Mother Sita said, but now it was too much for her. So Mother Sita said that if there was any other person if there was no other person that I ever loved except you, my Lord, then let the Mother Earth take me back. I came from the Mother Earth and let Mother Earth take me back. That means if this is true that I have not loved any single person except you, or I have never had worship or devotion to any other person except you, my Lord, like that is this Ananya Bhakti that she demonstrated, then let the Mother Earth take me as a proof. And as soon as she spoke this, the earth opened. A beautiful golden throne came out along with the presiding deity of Mother Earth. Mother Earth took Sita Devi on that throne and they went back again and closed. And at that time it is mentioned that Lord Ramchandra sat down and cried like a small child. So long, 60,000 years, probably whatever, so many thousands of years, he was just like an ideal. But that time he sat down and cried like a small child. So one has to understand the characters of the Lord Ramchandra, because Lord Ramchandra has to be a king in Treta Yuga. Lord Ramchandra was not an ideal king of Kali Yuga. He was not an ideal king of Dwapar Yuga. He was ideal king of Treta Yuga. And he had to do those things. I'll just give you a sample of the idealism exhibited in Raghu dynasty. Then you can understand, and this is what I read, that when Ramchandra sent Shatrughna to kill Lavanasur, he also passed through the forest where Valmiki Muni's kutir was there. And he stayed at the kutir of Valmiki Muni. And he discussed with Valmiki Muni so many things and he stayed back. And a wonderful thing happened. In the night, he suddenly heard the sound of two children crying. And two small children, newborn, crying in the Valmiki Muni ashram, who are they? So he immediately inquired and he came to know that Lav and Kush have just born. Right? Now, if you were in that position, you have a brother who is like Lord Ram, and you have a Bhabhi who is like Mother Sita, and she has just given birth to two new children who are just in the next room probably. Probably you will take your Samsung Galaxy, take snaps, put it on the Facebook. This is my two cousins, newborn. Just spread the whole world. You'll go to office with sweets and distribute them to all colleagues. You know, I have become a kaka, I have become a chacha, mausi, everything. Just full celebration, right? What did Shatrughna do, you feel? Shatrughna did not even send a servant to Ayodhya to inform that Lava and Kush are born. Why? Because expectation. The expectation from Shatrughna is that he has gone to murder or he has gone to kill Lavanasur. The expected news from that side is that Lavanasur is dead. Any other news that brings, Ram is not going to be happy. If he would have sent a messenger and Ram would have asked, okay, please tell me the news that Lavanasur is dead. And he says, no, Ram, actually you have become the father of, so what? It's like, so what? Because the expected news, this is there in Dwapar Yuga also. You see, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Yudhishthir Maharaj got injured a bit, and that time the injury was from Karna, and immediately Krishna and Arjuna were supposed to fight Karna now. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was taken to the side, he went into the chambers, he was taking rest. And suddenly Krishna noticed that Yudhishthira Maharaj is not around. So he said to Arjun, Arjun, what's wrong? He said, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my brother. Let's go and find out. So they all went to the chambers. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, as soon as he saw Arjun alive, yes, Arjun, tell me the good news. Tell me the good news that Karna is dead. He said, no, Karna is still there. But I thought you were dead. That's why we came to see you. And he became angry like fire. He said, why did you come to see me? Is that the reason to go away from the... I am expecting the news from you that Karna is dead. How can you even show your face to me before that news? So, Shatrughna, he went to Mathura. He killed Lavanasur, ruled there for 4 years, established the kingdom, then he came back. Till that time, nobody knew what is Lava and Kush, children born, no news given to anybody. This is the idealism that is followed in Treta Yuga. We can't follow it. And therefore, we cannot understand the decisions taken at that time sometimes. If you want to know why Lord Ramchandra took that particular step, you have to be in Treta Yuga to understand it. You can't be in Kali Yuga and make comments sitting on your laptop and running on your social networking websites that Ram is wrong and he is right and that is wrong and that is... No. You have to earn that. Right? You have to earn that standard of living there, then you can make comments on the characters of the Lord. So therefore, one has to understand the pastimes of Lord from pure devotees. We have our good fortune of hearing this from Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. Right? So learn these pastimes from pure devotees, glorify the devotees, and ultimately perfect your life and go back to Godhead. This is the facility that has been given to us. So if we just follow this, yeah, and then final one thing I want to say, that the glories of Sita have to be concluded, that how Mother Sita actually represents a living entity. A living entity is also, Sita was in an island which was surrounded by ocean. A living entity also trapped in this material world, in this Bhavasagar. The whole ocean of material existence is around a living entity. Right? And that living entity does not lose hope. Sita Devi, although was tempted so many times by Ravan, so many times that I will make you the main queen, you will rule Lanka. Sita Devi did not give up. Similarly, a devotee may be put with so many temptations, everyday life. Arey, don't do your 16 rounds today, it's okay. That's fine. You should sleep now. Sleep is also very important. Ayurveda says that you should at least have 7 hours of sleep. And your rounds are pending. Ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, first health is important. You need not complete your 16 rounds. There are so many temptations will come and they will try to convince you. Please please do into go into this business. Although there is some locha in this business, no problem. You can give all the money to Krishna afterwards. Please go into this. Make this. You can put your money in IPL cricket also. Somebody will win. You will get some money in that gambling also. No problem. That money you can give to Krishna, 50%. Rupa Goswami said 50%, no. So 50% of that I'll give. So many temptations will come in so many different ways, but you have to keep hope. And Sita Devi had no clue whether Ramchandra is actually coming or not coming, absolutely no clue. But when her condition was very desperate, Ram sent Hanumanji. That's the spiritual master. The spiritual master comes and shows his finger ring. See, I am from the Sampradaya. I am a bona fide spiritual. I mean, he doesn't see that. He doesn't say that. But it's for us to understand it. Right? And believe a bona fide spiritual master. And then Sita Devi also gave that story, and he or she also gave her ring. The exchange of rings took place. That is the initiation when the vows are exchanged. The spiritual master says, yes, I will relieve you from all sins of your past life because you accepted the shelter of Lord Krishna. And the disciple says that, yes, spiritual master, I will follow the vows of my initiation. I will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I will follow the four regulative principles. That doesn't mean that you have to have that formal initiation ceremony. Otherwise, you know, that's the Mother Sita not happened. Not like that. As long as you have that conviction in your heart, you know, that's the thing. That, and then that commitment comes, and one day, Krishna will come, Ram will come, and what they will do? They will destroy Lanka city. They will destroy this material existence around you, take you on the Garuda, just like Sita was carried on the Pushpak Viman, and take her back to Ayodhya. So you will be taken away on the back of Garuda to the spiritual world. But you have to continue. Till what time you have to continue? Till Lanka breaks down. So therefore, Lord Krishna puts that shloka in Bhagavad Gita. Prak sharira vimokshanat. One continues one's devotional service and steadiness till prak sharira vimokshanat. Kama krodhod bhavod vegam. We have to tolerate this kama and krodha and the vegas which are coming out of them. Till what time? Prak sharira vimokshanat. Not that we are eager to do and commit suicide now, but let the body go away. No. There is patience and tolerance. Sita Devi kept preaching actually to Ravana, right? So by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have also that ability. We can keep preaching till prak sharira vimokshanat. Till the Lord actually comes, destroys the material existence, takes us on the back of Garudji and takes us back to God. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions, comments? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Those of you, we just spoke about the wonderful glories of Srila Prabhupada books and the gems which Prabhupada